the last time the commissioner spoke publicly, most of us came away thinking there was no chance in hell there was going to be a season. Now you're looking at possibly a September start. I mean, I'm reading as we speak. I mean, obviously that's still a big question mark. But I guess what it explain me just the idea of not of announcing you're not going to hold the Grey Cup in Regina. Is that simply to give the folks in Regina to just clear the table for them?
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, if you're going to host the Grey Cup in Regina, not that there's a drop-dead date, but the CFL is now talking about potentially playing the Grey Cup in December. So they're just going to say whoever has, if they play, and it's a big if, they're effectively what they're doing, Jeff, they're just kicking the can down the road. Because provinces that have the majority of CFL teams have said no gatherings until at least August 31st. So that just wipes out anything until September. And I think the sense they're probably getting from the federal government is that with the quarantine and the borders and the rest, nothing can really, you know, if you're going to start games in September, for instance, you need guys in the country basically at the start of August, you know, testing either a 14-day quarantine or a modified quarantine and then some kind of training camp, maybe an exhibition game. So it's not just that you would start a season in September. You got to kind of go back and say, well, when is all the preparation going to begin? Toronto has a new coach. Ottawa has a new coach and a new quarterback. So that's, you know, that's that. So what they're saying is, look, Regina is paying a lot of money. The Rough Riders are paying a lot of money, and we can make a lot of money if we do the Grey Cup properly. They're going to sell it out. The festival is going to be a huge success. Let's maximize every dollar we can make and do this in 2022. And then who knows if we're going to have a season? Who knows when we're going to start, if we're going to start at all? And who knows when a championship may be played and where? We'll just cross that bridge when we get to it. I hope my explanation
Arash,
makes
a bit
sense.
Of, yeah, it does. And first of all, good to hear you, Arash.
Yeah, you too, Richard.
We'll have to talk about the Raptors again one day.
Yeah.
Richard,
I don't think the Raptors are winning the championship in June this year.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You're bumming me out. You're bumming me out now.
There you go.
Again, I'm asking you to sort of do a little bit of forecasting, but if they are unable to play in the calendar year of 2020,
yes.
What do you think that means? What do you think that means for the league overall in 2021, and specific, obviously, franchises?
Well, it all depends on a few things. One is how much government money are they going to get? I think the one thing that's important to understand here is, you know, they've asked for up to $150 million. I don't think it's an all or nothing scenario here. They could get some, and how much will some allow them to tread water, if you will. The other is, you know, then it becomes up to the individual owners, the private owners, not the community-run teams, how much are they willing to pony up to keep not only their franchises afloat, but the league afloat and other organizations afloat. You go down that road. And then the other is, what can the CFL itself do? Would they be able to get some kind of advance, for instance, from, you know, either a television partner or somebody else? Can they go down that road? So I don't think we can stand here right now and say, well, if the season does happen, it can unfold. This is how it's going to unfold. And if it doesn't happen, this is how it's going to unfold. Because there are just so many unknowns and so many variables. The other question, guys, is if they do play, will it be in front of people, you know, a 4,000 paid fans in a social distancing world? Will it be played in front of nobody? Will it be 7 games, 8 games, 9 games, 10 games? If they do play, and if you can put some people in the stands by November or December, how different is it if the championship ends up being played in Regina? You know, if the host team is in the game on the prairies, you're probably going to get a lot of people paying a lot of money for that. So there's just so many ifs in this conversation that we're just not there to answer yet.
We had John Torrey on last week, and of course, John was the former chairman of the commissioner of the CFL. Pardon me, commissioner chairman.
During some dark days.
During some really dark days. He made an interesting point, I thought, Arash, and that was, and he didn't want to second guess Randy Ambrosi, but then he kind of did. And one of the things he said was, look, a better approach to the government may have been to go to the government and say, we have talked to our stakeholders. You know, we've talked to the CFLPA. We've talked to TSN. We've talked to our sponsors. And this is kind of where we are in terms of what everybody thinks they can contribute. So instead of going to the feds and saying, essentially, help kickstart our ability to weather this, you go to the feds and you say, hey, we've kind of kickstarted this. We need to know what you could contribute. Do you think that was a tactical error?
Yeah, there were a lot of tactical errors that Ambrosi made. First of all, he didn't have an answer when MPs asked, well, where are the players in this? He didn't have an answer for how much would the players get. He didn't have a business plan on how, because he says this is a loan and they're going to repay it in kind. He didn't have a business plan in terms of how are they going to repay this and what is the outline of this. And when I spoke with Pam Damoff, who's a member of parliament for the Oakville area, that's one thing she said. She said, look, we need the players involved and we need a business plan. And until you don't do that, you can't come to the finance committee looking for money. So, the CFL is dealing with Crestview, which is a very respected lobbyist firm. They have three different lobbyists who are going after the federal government on their behalf. I'm not sure if Crestview was involved in the preparation for the commissioner going in front of the House of Commons Standing Committee of Finance meeting when he provided his testimony. But look, there are 154 organizations before the CFL that presented to the Finance Committee, and another 70 left to present again. And just by not having those answers, they're in the back of the queue now, Jeff.